Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nuntet, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah on Nunchet Amud Beit at the beginning of the third Perek. Ha'omer lechavero, tzei v'kadesh li'isha plonit, v'alach v'kitshala atzmo mekodesh. So a guy says to his friend, now, we're going to actually be medayik v'loshen later on. Why does it say to his friend? Because remember that in the other cases we had where we discussed sending a shliach, we never said to his friend. We said to a shliach, omer l'shlucho. And that's where we had most of the dinim. So this is not a casual word that we changed to chaviro. The Gemara is going to discuss that. You go out and find me such and such a woman. I want to marry her. And he goes, and he's mekadesh her to himself. She is mekudeshet l'sheni, and there's no issue here at all of any chashash about whether there's some reason to be mevatel l'kedushin. Now, what reason would there possibly be to be mevatel l'kedushin, to teach me something that what? Well, we're going to see that this is a disgusting thing to do. So first of all, it could be that because of the getter of the Rama'ut that's involved, maybe there was a knas. Some of the Rishonim taina that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Chachomim did not give a knas that would be mevatel the kedushin. We did find that sometimes the takana was that we consider these kedushin to be completely a bottle, and either because Hefker Bes and Hefker, or Mashri Lebilas and Bilas Nus, as we've discussed in the past, it also could be that maybe it would be a Mekachtos, Mitzad the Isha. If she would come along and would say, well, if I had known that you were actually being sent by my dear guy, you know, but he never sent anybody to be Kaddish Mis, I figured, what the heck, I'll accept it from you. But had I known you were Shliach, I never would. No, that also doesn't work. Okay. There's other pshatim as well, but it's clear that we have plenty of grounds to require this chiddush in a mishnah. Now, about if a man says that the kedushin should be chal only after 30 days. Meanwhile, somebody comes along, there too, she would be mikudeshet lasheni, because since the first guy said the kedushin only take place after 30 days. So now, when she's mekudeshet at the end of the 30 days to another party, there's no room here for the kedushin to be chal. This is the simple mashmaut of the sugya, and it's the way the Rambam understands the sugya. We're going to see later on that it's very strongly mashmaut, that that's the logic. Although there are some Rishonim who say that the problem over here is that the very fact that she was Bekabela's Kedushin from the second guy implies that she was Chazraba from the original Kedushin and it hadn't yet gone into effect. It doesn't go into effect until the end of the Shloshim Yom. So, I mean, there would be major differences between the Rambam's approach, which, as I said, is the Pashas of the Sugya, and the other approach. I mean, what would happen in a case where the second guy gave her a get and he died? You know, so then there's no kedushin at the time. But if it's chazara at the time of the 30 days, if it's chazara, then it would be a kedushin. So these tamim are very nogei l'halacha also. So here we have the similar situation where somebody did something rather reprehensible in going and taking advantage of the 30-day lapse until the kedushin was meant to be chal, and he takes this woman. Nonetheless, she is indeed mekudeshes l'sheni. And when we say she's mekudeshes l'sheni, we don't mean that we have to be machmir, that she's mekudeshes l'sheni, she needs a get. We mean that she is totally, without any suffix, mekudeshes l'sheni. So let's say, if she were a bat Yisrael, and this second guy was mekadesh or was a kohen, so she would be allowed to eat shuma. That's how certain we are that this is a real kedushin. But how about, now you'll note that these cases are all parallels, the cases that we had in Masechet Gittin, of the same issue of the various lashonot. So how about, in a case where he said, me'ata, or me'achshav, uli'achash l'shem yom, which we had the same suffix, l'gabi yeget. In this case, he said that the Kedushin should be chal from this point. That's, what does that mean? If it's from this point, then it's from this point. So when you continue to say, and after 30 days, what would be the meaning of that? It doesn't make any sense. It's self-contradictory, right? Well, not necessarily. There's two ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is that it's a condition. It's tama t'nai b'alma. So in other words, I'm waiting for 30 days to make sure about something, whatever. Make sure my father likes the shidduch. Make sure you're still sure you want to marry, whatever it is. And why did he say me'akshav? Because then it would mean retroactively. The Kedusha would be chal from the very beginning. The fact that it's retroactive, obviously, would preclude any chalos Kedushin in the middle of those 30 days. Because once the 30 days are ended, and the Tanai was mekuyam in his mind, and there is no chazara, so then he would be her husband from the first day. So that's one way of understanding it. Same suffix we had by Gittin. It may also be charata. He wanted to give the get now. Here he wanted to give the Kedushin now. And then he realizes, no, you know what? I'm not quite sure. Let me put it off. Which is a pretty standard situation in marriages, right? It's a good thing they don't do this under the chuppah. Boy, that would really cause a riot. But anyway, just to acknowledge the reality that the guy wants to say lachash lashim yom, but doesn't. Okay, so in this case, mekudeshes ve'ena mekudeshes. So what does that mean? So it seems to be saying that we're not actually sure, and that each one of them may be mekudeshet, if bo'achar v'kitsha b'toch shloshim yom. So then both of them are a suffix kedushin. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to go into what mekudeshet ve'ena mekudeshet means and why this would be true. But, I mean, saying that implies that unless you get a get from both of these people, then you're not going to be able to marry someone else. I mean, and obviously neither of them can consummate the marriage with her until the other one bows out. But in this case, being as we don't know, if she were a Bas Yisrael and this guy was a Kohen, or she's a Bas Kohen, she's getting married to Yisrael, she cannot eat Truma, because if one of them was a Kohen, we have no idea if she can eat. And if one of them was a Yisrael, then even if she were a Bas Kohen eating her father's Truma, that one may be the real husband. And therefore, since she's now married to a czar, she would not be able to eat Truma. Okay, let's start just at the simple case of the beginning. A guy says to a friend, go out and be Bekadosher, and then he goes out as Bekadosher for himself. So, Omer l'chavero tseva kadesh, Tana. So, in the Braisa, it explains that when the Mishnah says she's Mekudeshes, it means that the Kinyan was not Bato, Masha asasui, but what he did was very inappropriate. It's Ramaut. It's a disgusting thing to do. And we don't very much, let's see where we get this from, and we don't very much back the behavior, despite the fact that we're willing to back the Kinyan. So the truth is that if you take a look at the Mishnah, you'll see how the Mishnah incorporates this idea of the Braisa. Because the Tana Didan uses an unnecessary word, v'halach. What does that mean, v'halach? Seva kadesh le'isha plonis, v'halach v'kitsha la'atzmo. Why do you have to say v'halach? I mean, it's not the point. V'kitsha la'atzmo, right? So in the same way that we would say in English, and he goes and he does whatever the heck he wants, right? So in other words, we're using a lashon here. You remember, we had this same lashon of v'halach. This occurs in numerous places, where v'halach always indicates an intent that is meaningful and inappropriate in the case. So we said, v'narotel hochot al tzvat hayor, right? So what does that mean? That they were hochot, they were trying to prevent Bitya from taking Moshe. And because of that, they were hochot l'mita. This was their end. So here too, holach nami diktani is a lashon of halach baramaut. So the Tana actually opened our Mishnah with the clarity of how inappropriate the behavior is, and nonetheless, Mekudeshet, which Lamaisa backs the Svara of those who understand that the Mishnah is saying that despite the fact that it was disgusting, Chazal were not Mevatel the Kedushin the way that we sometimes do when a person goes and does something that is inappropriate. Now, how come over here, you didn't explain to me why we use the word he asked his friend. I mean, this is some friend. I mean, so, like, why would we, and if he was his friend, he isn't his friend anymore, I'll tell you that. But why would we use this Lashon? Bedavka, because, I mean, in the Mishnah, where we were talking about before, where we had, Omer l'shlicho tzei v'kadesh l'isha b'mokom plonis. Remember, so we had the machlokas about whether Mare mokom ulo, and if he was halach v'kitcha b'mokom acher, is that also included in the shlichut and so on? So why over here does it say ha'omer l'chavero, whereas in that Mishnah we said ha'omer l'shlicho? So is there a reason why we would change the language? Says the Gemara, of course. Ha'cha rabuta kamashman v'atam rabuta kamashman. Each one of the Mishnayos chooses the word that is a greater chiddush. So ha'cha rabuta kamashman. Let's imagine that the Tana would have said Ha'omer l'shlucho. So itana shlucho, I might have thought that the idea of ve'halach, which is the remez that the shliach is a rami, that is because he was supposed to be acting as an actual shliach, and he was appointed that you are the person that I'm relying on to go ahead and to take care of it. That is indeed a rama'ut that we might even have been choshed would be mevatel the act of the kedushin kamashman that it isn't. But that would only be, if I use the word omer l'shlucho, if he is a real shliach, because over there, somcha da'ate, the interrelationship between the sender and the shliach is such that he really believes that this person has accepted upon himself a Nemanut, you're going to be my agent. I mean, to go ahead and then not only not to fulfill your agency, but to do the exact opposite, that's horrific. But in a case where a guy, yes, a friend, you know, if you happen to find this woman, so please be Mekadosh over there, lo samcha daite. I mean, he hasn't made this a real fundamental legal arrangement, you are my agent. It's true that he has the din of the shlichas, but it's sort of like Zochin Liadam, since he told me, I want this woman. So maybe in such a case, he wouldn't be considered to be a rami, and there's much less of a censure of his maisa, and therefore, the Mishnah needs to tell me, no, it's still considered to be v'halach, and it's still considered to be rama'ut. And therefore, here, it's teaching us the din of the hanhaga, where somebody, even though he didn't make you a shliach, but nonetheless, you're in a position where you're violating his semi-trust. If it was a shlichut, you're really totally violating his trust. In the other case that we had before, where it says, if you say to a shliach, be mekadesh me this woman in location X, and he goes to location Y. So over there, it's also telling us a chiddush, because the reason that it says omer l'shlucho is because, look, if the Mishnah over there would have said omer l'chavero, go and be mekadesh me a woman in such and such a location, I would have thought that since it says over here ena mekudeshes if he goes to another location, you know why that's true? It never occurred to me that I should have to say anything to him about another location. He wasn't going for me. I asked him as a friend. I heard that you're taking a trip to Paris. If you meet this girl, please be mekadesh. It never occurred to me you're going to go to Romania because you didn't find a girl in Paris. And therefore, he never, in any sense, had allowed him to be a shliach. So maybe that's why she's not mekudeshes, because it never occurred to him. He's certainly not going to go to Romania. So there's savar lo torach. And he's not in this to do any kind of tircha for me. So because of that, I don't have to worry about it. But if he went ahead and he took a shliach and made him an official shliach, so then in that case, maybe the idea was that he knows the guy is going to go somewhere else. And then when he tells him in this place, he feels bad because, Okay, I mean, look, you know, I don't want you to go all around the globe. I think that she is located in Paris. So there is just being Mara Mokomula. And let me make things easier on you. For the friend, I mean, what do you mean make things easier? I never asked you to go out of your way at all. I don't need to make things easier for you. So over there, maybe indeed Mara Mokomula is just making it easy. I want you to know, I happen to know she was, I just heard from a friend that he saw her in Paris. So try Paris, meaning try Paris first. Therefore, I need to know that even in a case where he made a mashliach and he understands that the person is going to be toreach b'shvilo, that nonetheless, he is not just Mara Mokomulai, he specifically made him a shliach for that place and only that place. Now, there was a maisa with Ravin Chasida, and he, I mean, Ravin Chasida must be a pretty big chassid if they called him Ravin Chasida, right? Now, he apparently would have done everything, I mean, without any level of ramos. Listen to this. He goes ahead to get a wife for his son who had made him a shliach, obviously, that he could be Mekadesh and Isha for his son. He gets there, and he takes the girl for himself. Sounds familiar. So, Kitcha Lanavsha. So he goes ahead, and he takes her for himself. But didn't we just say, Masha Sasui, but Hinahagba Minag Ramaut? I mean, this is inappropriate. No, what happened was, he went to take her, and he said, I want to take your daughter for my son. Your son is a no good, Nick. You're a wonderful person, they say to him, but you know, we don't want your son. We want the real item. So, okay, in that case, lo yavuni alei, so they refused to give it to him for that purpose. So therefore, he said, okay, well, if you really insist, she's pretty good for me too. So he took her only under those circumstances. You know, I mean, I understand, but it don't look too good, does it? I mean, shouldn't he at least have called up his son and said, look, this is the situation. What do you suggest I do? I mean, just to come home with the woman in tow for himself is like, it still seems like a very inappropriate type of sort of ramos. So why didn't he at least tell him? And that way it wouldn't have looked even like ramos. Because look, he's not interested in being a rami, but on the other hand, he's not interested in losing this woman. If there's grounds to believe that there is a chance that somebody else is going to catch her because he's taking the time to go back and talk to his son about it, then he is certainly within his understandable rights to make certain that nobody gets her first. So that's why he did it. That was another maisa, where Rabbi Bar Bar Chana gave money to Rav, and he said, listen, there's a property that I've been looking at that I'd really like to buy. I know that people respect you. Could you buy it for me? So Rav goes there, and he goes, and instead he buys the land for himself. Isn't that the same thing? Vatanya asked the Gemara, didn't we learn? I mean, obviously we could have done it from the Mishnah if we want to be Medayik, but the Braitzah said it beferish. So how could Rav be noig minag ramaut? No, the situation is like this. The place, and this was the reason Rabbi Bar Bar Chana sent Rav, I mean, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana asks Rav to do a shlichus for him. So obviously, this was a place that it wasn't so easy to buy land. It was controlled by some very difficult people. Bagada lima havile. And maybe it was a gated community, you know. We don't want people like you in this community. Anyway, so for Rav, Nagei Beit Kavod. So, okay. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana thought if there were no Kavod for Rav, so they would allow Rav to buy also for him. But they were not ready to do that. No, they said, listen, you know, to have you in our community would be acceptable. Who is this Rabbi Bar Bar Chana? He's not good enough for us. So they refused to send it. And the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana lo nagi kavod, even though it was Rav who was doing the purchase. So since he couldn't have bought it, so therefore it's the same case that we had before. So Rav bought it for himself. Yes, but isn't it the same problem? Shouldn't Rav have gone back to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana and explained that he was unable to do it for himself, he would like to buy it for himself? True, but Savradach Velchiatina Shachrina Zavin La here too. Rav was afraid that this was a very desirable property. Somebody else would get it. And once again, remember Lola and also the Inyanim of Ki Yikach, which is, of course, Soda Ve'isha, a property and a woman. They have the same dinim. Everyone is unique, and you can't afford to let somebody else get there first. Now, there was another Maisa, which is sort of similar to this idea, and which is extremely Nogea Lahalacha. Rav Meisha has a lot of tshuvas on cases like this, and where we have to paskin like this. So Rav Gittel havim ahapich b'hi ara. Rav Gittel was in the middle of trying to purchase a particular piece of land, and Rabbi Abba bought it out from under his nose. So Azar Rav Abba Zavna. So this seems also to be inappropriate. I mean, I understand it's not on the same darga, you know, because he wasn't appointed by the other guy who thought he was going to buy it from him, but still, you know that somebody else wants something. It doesn't seem to be appropriate to go take it away. So when Rav Gittel heard what happened, so Rav Abba wasn't available, so he could discuss it with him directly. So he went to Rabbi Zira to ask, was this okay? Can we do anything about it? Also, Reb Zira v'koblei l'Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, and Reb Zira said, I don't know, look at this, Maisa Shoya. I mean, should we tell him that he has to give the land back to Reb Gittel? Wasn't clear. So Reb Yitzchak Nafcha said, listen, before we talk about this, why don't we wait until we can speak to Reb Abba directly? He's going to be coming up here for the Kala, before the Regel. And at that point, he always comes and he says, Shalom Aleichem to the Rav Ha'ir. So he'll come to me and I'll ask him. So sure enough, Rav Abba comes and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha bumps into him and he says to him, I have a shaila for you. Let's say that you have a poor man who is trying. Now here is a major question how to understand the next three words. And it's a big machlokas right here on the daf between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Many other Rishonim get involved in this. This is why it becomes a big question lahalacha. Rashi learns that the meaning of ani mahapech b'charara is that there's this poor man who doesn't have any money to buy things, and he sees that someone had put out a challah and been mafkir a challah, and he was trying to get that whatever piece of cake, maybe the guy put it there because he didn't want the sugar. Anyway, this ani is going to take the cake, and somebody goes and grabs it before he gets it. So what's the halacha? The Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Because what is wrong if this is it's a Beferish Mishnah. I mean, this was the whole, you know, opening of Betzia. Somebody sees something. And he throws his coat over it, and he wants it. And nobody over there said anything about it's being Rama'ut if the other person takes it, because this person who throws his coat over it is not considered to be looking to buy it. I mean, to have done any kind of kinyan, even though he was clearly looking to try to have that kinyan. This is not the issue. If it's Hefker, so then you're not going to be able to replace that. Where are you going to find another piece of cake that's Hefker? So there, you know, you have a right to take yours first. Whereas Rashi learns, even if it's Hefker, since the other person already had established a possible relationship to it because he wants it, it's inappropriate. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about he's trying to buy this. Now, obviously, this comes into play in cases where somebody has a business. Somebody else wants to make a deal to buy the business, and someone else goes ahead and buys it out from under him. These are the kind of issues where the Shaila comes up contemporarily very often. So is that considered to be a unique opportunity? If it's a unique opportunity, so then it becomes the equivalent of Hefker, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is Mutter, and only according to Rashi is Aser. So as you can see, you can just imagine the types of cases that are brought to Reb Moshe in these types of issues. Anyway, so what would be the din? See, he plays innocent. I'm just asking you what the din is of ani mahapech b'charara. So what's the din? So Amale, that's terrible. A person like that could be called a Rasha. Now, there's different halachas here, because if we're talking about an animapik b'charora of something that was hefker, so then that's the case over here, of course, was not something that was hefker, but nonetheless, he's calling this, in this case, an animapik b'charora, even though you would think that there, he could do the same thing and maybe buy another piece of property and so on. So this case would be, the Pashtus is talking about, even though Rashi extends it to Hefker, but the Pashtus of the case is talking about where there are other opportunities. And nonetheless, in this case, we say that he's considered to be Rasha. So he says, Bar, my time of Avirachi, it's Rav Yitzhak Mafchasestib. So then why did you do that? Isn't that exactly what you did? And this is true even according to Rabbeinu Tam. Omale, Veiz Mir, said Rav Abba, I had no idea. Lo aviyadana, I had no idea that Rav Gittel was trying to buy it. Of course I would never have done such a thing. Okay, so Rav Yitzhak said to him, wonderful. That's why everybody was coming to me to discuss it, because we assumed that there would be something that we could be betaken, and that you can give it back to Rav Gittel. So fine, so give it, sell it back to Rav Gittel. So Ashtanami, Nates for Neil Mar. There's no problem. You felt that it was the wrong thing that you did. Rav Gittel should be the owner. So sell it to Rav Gittel. Oh, Malay said, Rav Abba, no. I'm happy to give it to Rav Gittel, but I can't sell it, because it's considered to be a Simen Ra, a person who buys the first piece of land he ever bought, and then he goes and sells it. That is like a bad simon. I don't want to do that, but I'm happy to give it to him. So Zabuni Lomis Baninale, because it's the first piece of land. Narav Kamaitei Velomis Amna Milta, this is considered to be a bad sign. But Iboy Bematona Nishkale, if he wants, he's welcome to have it for free. Now Rav Gittel said, I don't take things for free. So Rav Gittel, no nachitle. Rav Gittel refused to take over the property. Because it says, v'sonei matanot yichyeh. Because remember, if someone is not a sonei matanot, so what happens? He becomes dependent on the source of the matana. That's the simple explanation. And in becoming dependent, he loses part of the nature of his own existence, which is always the problem, as we've discussed. It's the problem of Maaseh Bereishis itself, which is the question of how is it possible to give existence when by giving that existence, you're taking away that existence by creating a dependency, which is not an independent existence. And this, of course, is the whole basis of Maaseh Bereishis. It's the basis of Midas HaDin. It's the whole story of Kabbalah Satera. The Kili Yolam Chastai was only for 26 generations. You remember all of the issues. So this is the simple understanding of the Sonei Matanos Yechia. There are other, more, ruchniastic understandings that besides the obvious existential issues, there is a question in Maaseh Bereishis and in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manig the Olam, that something that a person owns is very much an extension of his own self. I mentioned that there are even achronim that say that if a ger is misgayer, that his pots become tovul when he goes to the mikveh. He doesn't need to be tovul the pots. Okay. So ad kedei kach, we know the chamorah of Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer and the story with Reb Chanina ben Deisa, you know, to carry the sheep on their head. But all of these things are amazing indications that a person is part of his extended life, which is the idea of extended evolution of Dawkins, that this is a person is not just a person, it has a tremendous impact and relationship to everything around him. So if a person takes something from someone that is not meant for him and that he didn't do anything to invest in, so he's basically also losing the sense of ba'alut and connection to all of the things around him. And this is sort of the easy come, easy go kind of feelings that occur today, where people have no longer have relationships to the things that they have. So that's another reason that this destroys your life. So I refuse to accept this. I don't want it. So what happened was that Rabbi Abba refused to use this land because he felt terrible. This was the land that Rav Gittel wanted, and I should go in there and I should use it and feel good about it. I'll never enjoy this piece of property. So he refused to ever use it. Rav Abba refused to use it because he wasn't going to accept any gifts. So it ended up that nobody could use this property. So they ended up saying, okay, you know what? They can use it. Let all the Talmidei Chachomim and the yeshiva, if they ever need to do anything with a piece of property, they need a place to make a chasana, a picnic, they called this the Rabbanan's field. So Umiskarya Ara, the Rabbanan, this became the yeshiva boys' chelek, so they could always go into that garden. The next piece of the Mishnah was that you put off the Kedushin for 30 days, but you did the Maitzah Kedushin now. Somebody comes and is Mekadesher within 30 days. So it says over here, the second person she's Mekudeshes to, as I mentioned to you, the Rambam, and as we're about to see, the Pashtus is, that it's because of the fact that by the time the 30 days come around in which her Kedushin is supposed to be now complete, she's married to somebody else. So what's the din over here that because the person comes, now, lo ba acher v'kicha b'tok shloshim. So, I mean, does the Kedushin begin before? Is the Maisa Kedushin finished before? Does the money still have to be around so that at this point it would become the Kedushin? How exactly does this work? Mau. So Ravi Shmuel Damar Tavayot, the money does not have to be there. The act of the Kedushin was completely chal. It's just that the chalos of the Kedushin was put off until the 30 days. So, afa pisha nitachru hama'ot, even though nothing is left of the original Kesef Kedushin, she would still be mikudesha, my time, huh? Well, consider. The money that was given to her, was it given to her as a loan? That then we would say that, you know, so therefore, at the end of the time, when she owes her the money, then it would be a loan, and you can't be Mekadesh B'Milva. No, it's not a loan, obviously, because he didn't give it to her to use. He gave it to her, and therefore, her to use, meaning to spend and pay him back. And therefore, if she ate it, she ate her own money. This is hers. V'lola pikadon domu. And it's not similar to the case that we had before, where somebody had said to the woman, you know, here is, I gave you $100 a few months ago, be mekudeshes to me instead of returning me those $100. We're over there. If there's nothing left and the money had been stolen, so then she would not be mekudeshes because nothing was given to her. Well, it's not this case because pikadon b'rishus d'morako misachle, v'hani b'rishus d'idoko misachle. Those cases, it would be the money used up before she had it for the Kedushin. But he never said that. He didn't make the Kenyan Kedushin after 30 days. He gave her the Kedushin, and she ate it and enjoyed the Kedushin, and that's what's important. So over here, it's not similar to those cases where the money is not there at the time of the Kedushin. That's obviously not a loan, because a loan is lo tsa nitna, and therefore it is never there. But huh, b'tarz kedushin yavin and the Allah. These were given for this purpose, and she took it for that purpose and utilized that hana'a for that purpose. So because of that, the kedushin continues to be in effect. The act of kedushin continues to be in effect up until the 30 days, and at that moment, it's chal. Now, it's very important to note that there may be, according to many Rishonim, a tremendous difference if the Kedushin over here was done by giving her a shtar that says Areyat Mu'uresetli, La'achar Shloshim Yom, right? Why is that? So the Lashon of these Rishonim is, Shekvar Kol Tzar Kinyonei. What if that shtar is not around at the end of the 30 days. Is that the same thing as the money not being around at the end of the 30 days? Because normally when you make a kinyan, if at the moment of the chalos of the kinyan, there's nothing left of the act of the kinyan, so then it's considered to be unable to accomplish what it was that it set out to do in terms of the transference. And so the question revolves around, had this woman changed her mind and she would have said, I don't want to be mekudeshes to you, then she would have had to give back the money that was given to her for the kiddushin. So even though you can't be mekadesh with a milveh, and you can't be mekadesh with this pikadon unless there's something left, but over here, the original action of the kiddushin cannot be called gone and over. That's the point. So as long as there's some impact legally of the event that took place earlier, which was the giving her money, and that created now a responsibility on her part, either to take the kiddushin or to give it back, you cannot call that kulta kinyona. It's not the end of the kinyan. So this introduces a brand new concept if we look at it outside of the actual case that we're talking about. All right, so now the question is, what would be if indeed she changed her mind? Nobody else comes along. Loba acher v'kitsha. And she had decided, nah, I changed my mind. I don't really like this guy so much. Is that considered to be a bittul of the kiddushin? Or since she accepted the money and the Maisa kiddushin was over, so then it should actually go into effect on the 30th day. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, she can change her mind. Because up until the time that there's an actual kinyan, it's basically a commitment to a kinyan. Okay, so that's a dibur. You can undo a dibur with another dibur. Since there was no real chalos, remember that word. So there was no change in status. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, eino chozeret, because this is not a case of osi dibur mevatel dibur. See, it doesn't mean in general, lo osi dibur mevatel dibur, as we're about to see. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, how can you say that you cannot change your mind with something that was achieved by saying something? Well, we know that that's not true from the Maisa. We had this discussion so many times about Truma. It says over there in the Mishnah in Trumas that if the Balabayit had made a shliach to take off Truma, and then he was mevatel the shlichut, se'im ad shelo taram bitel et trumato truma, he could change his mind before, as long as it hadn't already been done, and therefore you see that you can cancel the appointment of an agent by simply saying, I made you an agent by my words, I'm unmaking you an agent. And if it was unmade before, Achelo Torah, main Truma to Truma. Now, isn't that a case of Dibor and Dibor? And the second Dibor is Mevato, the first Dibor. So you see that you're wrong, Rish Lakish. Says Rish Lakish, it's not comparable. Shiny netinat ma'ot l'idei isha d'chi ma'aseh dami. V'lo ati Dibor mevatel ma'aseh. When I said Dibor v'Dibor, I mean, that was because you used that language. But I don't agree that we should view this as just Dibor v'Dibor. The fact is that the very taking of that money is considered to be the equivalent of much more than a Dibor. And therefore, when I say l'chatchila, then Dibor mevato Dibor, what I mean is that where you have done something to make that Dibor real, you can't undo it by simply changing your mind. Really? And what about the same exact case that we had in Gittin? Eisvei. Back in the Mishnah in Gittin, it said, HaShaleach get li ishto, and then he bumps into the shliach. He didn't even go out special. He even just bumped into the shliach, or obviously if he really sent someone out there, catch that guy before he gives that get. V'yamar lo get shenatati l'cha batelu. I don't want you to give that get. HaReze batel. And if the shliach gives the get, then it's not an act of gittin. Now, why isn't giving the get into the hands of the shliach the equivalent of giving the money into the hands of the isha? And nonetheless, it says you can undo it by simply saying, don't give that get. Well, Rish Lakish, according to you, How can you just cancel with your word something that was done with an act? It says beferish in the Mishnah, v'katani ha-reze batel. No, says Reish Lakish, it's not comparable. I'm not saying the act is just a movement of your hand. Hasam nami, there's no real act. Kokamet lo mata gitali yoda. That's dibur v'dibur. Giving a get into the hands of a shliach, that's merely a physical confirmation of what you said. But it hasn't furthered anything. But over here, where he actually gave it to the, gave the Kedushin. So over there, it's only Dibur, but over here, it's a step of the actual Kenyan. And therefore, in that case, as a Dibur Mavato Dibur, that's not the case I'm talking about. Now, I have a question to you, says Reish Lakish. Eisvei Reish Lakish L'Rabbi Yochanan. How about the halacha, which we learned in Kalim, one of the most famous yesodas of dinim of Tuma, kol hakelim yordim lidei tumatan b'machshava, ve'ein olim lidei tumatan, ela b'shinui ma'aseh. One of the most fundamental ideas are that a ma'aseh can be motzi miyad ma'aseh u'miyad machshava. So let us understand the case, just to remind you. If you have something which is not considered to be fully finished, so let's say, for example, like the case in the Mishnah we had in Kulin, where somebody is making a beautiful kos for Kiddush, and he still has to attach the little decorative pieces of silver he has to solder on around the side, or he needs to smooth the top so that it should sort of curve over, any of those types of things, it's not considered to be a kli yet until it's finished. That's called gomei kelim. Or imagine a case somebody's got a hide. You know, he's going to take this hide and he's going to turn it into shoes. He's not going to be mekabel tuma. But suppose the person decides, you know what? I'm going to use it already. The moment that he decides that he wants to use it, it's yored lidei tuma and it can now be mekabel tuma. Because, remember, the whole Tyrus is called Chokhmas Vada'as is Tyrus. This is your das. You are now connected to this kli. It becomes a kli. But if you change your mind, you can't undo your thoughts or your statement. You change your mind, it's still going to be Mekabel Tuma. The only thing that will change it is if you actually do something which makes it clear that it's no longer usable for you. So what do? You take it back to the shop and you start attaching the little pieces to it. Fine, that's a maisa. So whether you actually did a maisa or you only thought that you were going to use it, you can't undo that by thinking something else. But if you do the maisa, you could even undo a maisa of actually using it. So that is the general principle which Gavi is writing down. Namely, ma'aseh motzi midei ma'aseh u'miyad machshava, whereas a machshava, ein motziah lo miyad ma'aseh v'lo miyad machshava. Now look, I understand that you can't, yes, Reish Lakish says, I mean, you can't be mafkia a ma'aseh, that I understand. It's not a contradiction to you, because dibur cannot be mevatel ma'aseh, even according to you. But you say that you can undo a statement or a thought. So why would not the new thought, no, I'm not going to use this until I actually finish polishing it up. So miyad machshava miyotepuk. In that case, it should at least undo the arida lidei tuma that came from your simple statement. Since it says in a Mishnah that you cannot do that, so apparently you're wrong, says Rabbi Yochanan. Now, wait a minute. A machshava of tuma, the Torah compares to a maisa. And therefore, it is the full equivalent of having done a maisa. I'll show you from the pasuk that that's the case. Kid Rav Papa. The Rav Papa Rami. Now, this, by the way, is classic Rav Papa. Remember, the way that we understand Rav Papa is that his name is Merames to the fact that he has two mouths. And that means he's always able to take both sides of the issues. He's always the one that says that, therefore, let's do both of them. So many cases, right? So when it comes to the brachas, he'll include both gersos and the brachas and so on. This is another example of having two mouths. Because the way that you read a pasuk, both according to its kri and according to its ksiv, and putting them together and coming out with a pshat, that's a classic Rav Papa thing, and he does this all over the place. You know, kosav eved ve'ovad ve'ksuv ve'karina be'ubad. So over here we have the same thing. It says in the Torah, ki yitein mayim al zera, right? But that's not how it's read. It's read, ki yutan mayim al zera. So remember what the case is over here. In order for Ochlim to be Mekabel Tuma, they need first to have been wedded by something. And it says in the Pasuk, ki yitein. That's what's written. It doesn't have a vav. Ki yitein means that you put it there. You put the water on it. That means you'd have to actually do the action. But the way that it's read, according to the Messiah, is ki yutan, which of course is passive. If it got wet, even if you didn't, so make up your mind. Ah, therefore comes Rav Papa to say, obviously, both are true. Ki yutan has to be similar to ki yitein. You don't have to actually do the action, but you have to be desirous of the action. So let's say that rain fell on this. You took it and you put it outside and you're happy for the rain to fall on it. And therefore, that's considered to be ki yutan. But if you didn't want it to get wet, let's say you covered it with a piece of plastic that blew off or whatever, then even though ki yutan, but it wasn't similar ki yitein. And therefore, we say, ma yitein denechale, af yutan denechale. So you have to at least want it. But that means that Tuma is unique because the very fact that you want or don't want is what defines the Tuma. That's why it's considered to be nitinat, the same as the actual maisa. Anyway, Rav Zvid was masin la shbait sa'aha. So the very discussion, this idea that we had, but the whole back and forth of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, he had a Kabbalah that this was not talking about this Mishnah. It was referring to a Mishnah later. And the Mishnah over there says that if the woman gives Rishos to a Shliach to accept Kedushin, Likacha, and then that woman goes ahead and she takes kedushin from another guy. V'halchahi v'kitcha et atzma. So what's the din? If first she was the one who got the kedushin, then her kedushin is the kedushin. But if the shliach was the one that accepted the kedushin first, then her kedushin is not kedushin. Now, at that Mishnah we asked, and here's how it got into this machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. How about if she did not go and accept Kedushin? She just simply said, I don't want that guy that I set to be Makaba Kedushin. I changed my mind, and I don't want him to be my Shliach. What would be the din? And that's where we had that Ribach Lokas. So Rabbi Yochanan said over there, she could change her mind by saying, I don't want him to be my Shliach. Reish Lakish says, no, you can't just change your mind. Rabbi Yochanan says, Chozeres, again, Asi Dibur Mevatel Dibur. Reish Lakish Omer, Eina Chozeres, because Lo Asi Dibur Mevatel Dibur. So now, this means that the way we're learning it on that Mishnah, so then Reish Lakish is saying literally, Lo Asi Dibur, not Dibur with a Maisa, because there was no Maisa in this case, right? We can no longer answer the questions that he answered by saying, well, it's considered to be a Maisa because you already did the Maisa of Kedushin, if it's referring to the Mishnah later on, referring to the woman and not to the husband. The husband did a Maisa. Eitzvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So this is exactly going through the same logic. What about the Mishnah in Truma? It's Bitel, if a guy was Mavato, the Shliach, to take the Truma, it says over there, if he was mavatalit before the shliach took the truma, and trumas are truma. So you see that you can simply say, I changed my mind, and I do not want this person to be my shliach. Well, says Rav, I'll tell you what Reish Lakish would say about that. It's talking about not that he stam changed his mind. It's talking about that he himself went and took off truma before the shliach. So there he did a maisa. And if you did a maisa, Reish Lakish agrees that a maisa is mevatel the dibur. And now, of course, we have the same discussion of Reish Lakish asking on Reb Yochanan, what about the Mishnah that says, Kol HaKelim Yorgim L'Dei Tumatom, Ve'eno Limit Ebel Shinoi Maisa, Maisa Motzi B'Dei Maisa Me'ad Machshava, Machshava Ene Motzi Alo M'Dei Maase, Alo M'Dei Machshava. Same question that we just had in the original version. How can you, Reb Yochanan, say such a Mishnah? Bishlama Me'ad Maase, Lo Mafkid Lo Vasidi B'Vato Maase. But why can't a machshava undo a machshava? Because you claim a dibur is bevatel dibur. And Reb Yochanan answered as he just answered in the first version. Shaini machshava de tuma, de chimaiset amikir Rav Papa, because Rav Papa said ki yitain, but we read it ki yutan. How do we explain it? We explain it as ki yutan, dubya de ki yitain, ma yitain de nechale, af yutan de nechale. Fine. Now is where things change. Because when Reb Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, Hashaleach get leishto vigia b'shliach or shishalach akrav shliach v'omar lo get shenatati lecha batelhi. So the din is, the shlichus is batel. Hareze batel. All you did was say it. Tiyufta to Reish Lakish tiyufta. In this version, Reish Lakish cannot say that there's a difference between doing a maisa or not having done a maisa. And therefore, in this version, the Mishnah in Gittin is indeed of tiyufta, of Reish Lakish, and because of this, Yochas HaGavase to Reb Yochanan, Dibur indeed is Osi and Minvatel, the original Dibur. So, wait, is this true of Filo Bikamaita? The way that we read it originally. So over there, he had an answer, right? His answer was, Afa Gavdi Ikala Meima, Shaini Netinas Mos L'Dei Isha, and that's similar to a maisa. And are you saying that the halacha is like Reb Yochanan, even if we accept the machlokas to be in the original case, where Reish Lakish does have a comeback? So would we still say, afilo achi asi dibur, or mevatel dibur? Apparently, afilo become maisa, because you didn't say that makes an afkamina. But then, if that's true, we've got a real problem, because then we have a stira. Kash ilchata ilchata. If you're telling me that the halacha in this is like Reb Yochanan, which means that osi dibur mevatel dibur, and remember that we have a general rule in another case which is very similar, as I'm going to show you, and there we paskin like Reb Nachman, who says, or at least it appears that he says, that a dibur cannot come to be mevatel a dibur, dibur elohu. What would be the din if after the Baal says to the shliach, I don't want you to use that get. Can he go back and use that get to be Megarish his wife? So Reb Nachman says, yes. And Reb Shesha says, no. And the halacha over there is, we paskin, Hilchos Avase, de Reb Nachman. So, I mean, how can he use the get? He said the get was batal. Now you're telling me that, no, the get isn't really batal. And you see that words cannot cancel the words you said before. No, don't you remember the way we understood that? He wasn't being mavato the get from being a get. He was being mavato the shliach from giving the get. So nehid the batle mitorah shliach, it's all very nice. His words worked, of course, because we paskin like Reb Yochanan. He was mavato le mitorah shliach, but mitorah's get lo batle. This is a different issue. Where was he ever mavato the get? He wasn't mavato the get itself. And therefore, in that case, it would be no stira whatsoever to say that certainly you can use that get if you decide you want to use it later. So, fine. Now let's take a look at the next piece. The next piece is if he says that you are mekudesha to me and it's achar shloshim yom, then she's mekudesha l'sheni. So what does that mean? So, Mekudeshes L'Sheni, Rav says, forever. She's Mekudeshes L'Sheni. Because once he was Mekadesher, that's it. Where Shmuel says, no. She's Mekudeshes L'Sheni until the 30 days. After the 30 days, when the original Kedushin now is completed, so then Gamre Kedushin Rishon. Yes, Rav Chista, Kashas, Rav Chista had heard that. How can Shmuel say that? I don't understand. If the Kedusha Sheni was Chal, how did it unchal? It's So this, as I said to you earlier, it's very clear from the Gemara that the issue that we have in mind is that the existence of a Kinyan Kedushin prevents another Kedushin from taking place, like the Rambam understands the whole sugya, which is the basis of this question. How could the fact that it's now the 30th day, that's not a get? So there's no room for the Kedushin to be chal. That is the Rambam's approach, right? Not the other approach if she's changed her mind. Omale Rav Yosef, you're 100% right. The first case in the Mishnah could not make sense the way that you just said, Shmuel said. The reason that you got a problem is because you got a mistake. Mar Aresha Masila. You thought that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about whether she's Mekudeshes Li'olam L'Sheni was going on the Resha. And therefore you have a problem, Vakashale. How could Shmuel possibly have said that we're going to cancel the second Kedushin and now allow the first Kedushin? You're right. But that was not where Shmuel said it. Rav Yehuda explained that this was talking about the Seifa. That's why he didn't have any problem with it whatsoever. The Seifa was what? Somebody says, Me'achshav u'le'achar shloshim yom, which is very confusing. Do you mean that you changed your mind? Do you mean that you're making a t'nai and you're saying that if I still want it, l'achar shloshim yom? What do you mean exactly? You know, Ari, don't you think you should have someone with a driver's license in the driver's seat? Where are you, in South Africa? So, it looks a little funny to others. Okay, in any event, now, but there we had the machlokas. So now what would be the din? According to Rav Yehuda, Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas. Rav says, when it says, we're not sure, she's Mekudesh, she's Veinu Mekudesh, that means we never are sure. I don't know whether the first Kedushin is the one that's Chal or the second one that's Chal. Where Shmuel says, no, that's not true. She's definitely Mekudesh after the Shloshim Yom. The only suffix was what's her status during those Shloshim Yom. So if you made it Chal retroactively, so then when the time comes, the retroactive Kedushin was Chal from that first day, which did not allow the second person to have a Kedushin. That's the point. So obviously they have a different understanding of what the words mean when you say Me'achshav u'le'achar shloshim. So Rav, he doesn't know whether those words mean, I'm making a condition. I'm giving you the condition now to be chal now, just like all conditions. But it's on condition that I still want it at the end of 30 days. So if he still wants it at the end of the 30 days, that would mean that the Kedushin was chal on the first day. In which case, the second person who came along was trying to be Mekadesh someone else's wife. And therefore, that would be obvious that only the first person is the one if the 30 days finish and he still wants her. He's the one that's the real husband. Please stand up. The problem is that Rav is concerned that it might have meant chazorah. And when the person said, Harei HaMekudeshet Li Me'achshav, no. Let's wait 30 days, right? So if it's chazora, so then you're back to the first case in the Mishnah. Yeah, because over there, we know he doesn't want the Kedushin to be chal until after 30 days. In which case, there is place now for the second person to make Kedushin. Once the second person makes Kedushin, obviously it's not going to disappear. That's how Rav understands it. But according to Shmuel, there's no chance that the guy changed his mind. The only way to understand this, is that it's a t'nai. By the way, we're going to see that that type of language that I just used, changed his mind or didn't change his mind, is really inappropriate. Because the machlokas is not the way we understand it now, about what the person meant. It's about what the words meant. And it's not dependent on the person's explanation of his intent or a difference between one person's use of the words and the other, as we're going to see. But in any event, according to Shmuel, these words mean, from this moment, you are my wife on condition that I still want you to be my wife at the end of 30 days. Fine. So then, in the interim, we're not sure, because we don't know if the guy wants her. He said, let's find out if I want you at the end of 30 days. But when we find out that he does, then she's Mekudeshet to him from back on the first day. And therefore, the only suffix that we have is during the 30 days, but after the 30 days, we have no problem. And we know that there is the same question that we had about what is the meaning of me'achshav l'achar X is a machlokas tanoim that we had back in Gittin. Beplukta da'ani tanoi d'tanya. Somebody gives a get to his wife, and he says, this get is your get from now, me'achshav, me'hayom, u'le'achar mita. Well, what's the din? He can't give a get if he's dead. So if he changed his mind and said, I only want the get to be yours if I'm dead, so then she needs to get Yibum. This is a suffix, get the eno get. So say the Chachamim. Rebbe says, no, this is 100% a get. So in other words, what Rebbe was saying is that it's a t'nai. I want the get to be chal now if I die. And that means that it's a t'nai like any other t'nai. If the guy died, so then the get was chal from the first day. So this appears to be exactly the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, so too the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Chachamim say, I don't know whether he changed his mind, in which case it wouldn't be a get, because you can't give a get after you're dead, or whether it's a t'nai. And Shmuel says, I know, it is definitely a t'nai. So now it would appear that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in a machlokas tanoim. I mean, that's weird. Why doesn't Rav just say halacha k'rabbanan? And why doesn't Shmuel just say halacha k'Rebbe? How do you explain this? Because it is the same machlokas, but only after Rav and Shmuel explain it as the same machlokas. Because I could have seen that the difference between kedushin and gittin is a very telling difference. Because let's say the Rav would have said halacha k'rabbanan, I might have thought that he meant that when it comes to gittin, in a case like this, halacha k'rabbanan. Why? Because when it comes to gittin, where it's a very difficult thing to do, to get rid of the person that you've been married to for so many years, and it's very often that at the moment that you're about to give the get, let me think this over, you know, or let's see if the worst happens. And no, the Bali get are saying, no, I'm absolutely happy to give this get. I don't want to think it over. Okay, fine. But there are cases where the person is reluctant to give the get, so he's coming to be marchiker. And therefore, I understand that he certainly means to change his mind, or very possibly means to change his mind. But in the case of Kedushin, I mean, the world will always welcome lovers. I'm dying to get this. I mean, why would I have changed my mind? If I was ready to be Mekadosher, why wouldn't I be Mekadosher? The Kruva Ka'asi. So maybe he'd be Meida. Rav would say, no, the guy certainly means it as a T'nai. He doesn't mean to change his mind. So he needed to say the case in the Dinim of Kedushin. We would know it's exactly the same thing. And if Shmuel had said Halacha K'Rebbe, I would have thought, yes. But that's because he'd have to be crazy to say L'achar Misa and mean it as a change of mind. He can't give a get L'achar Misa. So it would be a meaningless statement. L'achar Misa. They just say, no, never mind. Don't say, I'll give it to you L'achar Misa. So over there, there's no tzat to say that it's anything but a t'nai, because it can't be a chazorah. Mashenkin over here could certainly be a reasonable chazorah. You know what? Let me think it over. We'll have the Kedushin Bichal in 30 days. So maybe he's made it to Rav in that case. Therefore, we need Tzricha.